At this time, the children may be dismissed for children's church. That's ages 3 through grade 3. You can head towards the back. Well, today is Palm Sunday. And the children, as they walked up that aisle this morning, reminded us as they were waving the palm branches. They were saying, along with us as we were standing and singing, that Jesus is King. On that sacred Sunday, that Palm Sunday, as Jesus entered Jerusalem, with all the pomp and the circumstance rightly placed on a king entering, this king entering Jerusalem. And people were saying, Jesus is our King. I don't know about you this morning, but I know as I looked at Palm Sunday and realized what that means in my own life, I find it's easier sometimes to wave the palm branches and to say with my voice, Jesus is King. Find it easier to say than to live it. It's easier sometimes to say that Jesus is Lord and King of my life, and then later, for the people at that time, later in the week, saying something different. Failing to live out what they said earlier. But at Slate Hill, we desire to be a church that lives it. It's even in our tagline, living our faith. Not just to say saying that we want to live out our faith, but living it. There are so many good things that are happening here at Slate Hill. We are continuing to grow in our obedience to Christ. And we have wonderful worship services. And we use so many different gifts and talents in the church. But many things happen outside of this hour or two on a Sunday morning, where we live out our faith, where we're passionate about Christ, where I hear stories after stories of people who are living their faith Monday through Saturday. And I want to thank you this morning for your commitment, for your generosity, for your commitment to serve in so many ways, and the passion that we have as we worship God as our Lord and Savior. I admit to you this morning that it inspires me, and for that I'm gratitude to you. Now, before your heads get all swelled up this morning, I want you to know, like you and me, that we're not perfect. We have room to grow. We too say it many times that Jesus is our King. We shout, Hosanna. And then we realize that we are not perfect. We fall back into disobeying. I know that we mean it, but sometimes we don't follow it. And what tends to happen is temptation comes our way. We do the very thing that our mouth or our actions we said we would never do again. With all the best intentions that we have, we still fall back and disobey. So temptation is something we all deal with. It's very real to all of us. And this morning I have a prop to illustrate that. These are my wife's sticky buns. And you notice I have a thing over it so I can't smell it through the sermon. Okay, that's helpful. But look at these. Aren't they amazing? Okay. Dawn, sticky buns. Dawn, why don't you stand up? Some people know who you are. Some don't know who you are. Stand up. There you go. All right. Thank you. All right. Wonderful sticky buns. Now, the thing about these sticky buns is this. They can be sitting in the kitchen on the counter. And I can walk by and I see nothing else but those sticky buns. Those sticky buns are calling me. They're saying, Lynn, come near. Come closer. And I'm like, yeah, why not? So I walk over towards these sticky buns. And I take a look at them. And I say, you know what? I have willpower. I'm not going to eat these sticky buns. And then as I look at them and I get closer and the smell kind of comes up, I'm like, you know what? I'll just have, there's 12 in here, I'll just have half of one. No harm, no foul. So I cut one in half and I start eating it. Oh, it's so good. And then I look at this pan, I'm like, that really looks odd. I mean, to have a half of a sticky bun left over in there, really, it messes things up. It just doesn't look right. So I take another half and I eat that. Why not, right? So I eat the other half. And then I'm like, oh, shoot, I forgot. The best way to have sticky buns is with coffee. So I brew a pot of coffee. And I go back and I'm like, I forgot I messed up. So, hey, I'll take another sticky bun. And I eat that. You know how good sticky buns are with coffee? Oh, it's amazing. It's absolutely amazing. And I keep going. And soon, I have to admit that my coffee's only halfway down and the first sticky bun or the third one or second one is already gone. And I'm like, well, you know what? I didn't time this out right, so I still have some coffee left over. So, hey, why not another sticky bun? I have to admit to you that when I get to heaven, I'm going to ask God a question. I'm going to say, God, how comes some people can eat a whole pan of sticky buns and never gain any weight? That doesn't happen to me. This morning, we're talking about the dynamics of temptation. Not just to increase our knowledge of what temptation is, but to actually understand it in a way that will help us to overcome and have victory over temptation. I would invite you to turn your Bibles this morning to a passage that I think is pertinent for today. It's just a couple verses found in James 1, 14 to 15. James 1, chapter 1, beginning with verse 14, says this. Each person is tempted when they are dragged away from their own evil desire and enticed. Then after desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is fully grown, gives birth to death. Now I'll tell you, if anyone tells you that this Bible, that this word is outdated, read it. Read passages like this. You understand that God understands who we are as his people. Well, he created us. This morning I want to highlight a few words in this passage. And the first word I want to highlight is tempted. And so I want to ask you this morning, what are you tempted with? No, not in a general sense, like, oh, I'm tempted with things in life. No, not a general sense, but in a specific sense. I want you to think this morning about something that you are tempted with. You specifically are tempted with. Maybe it's gluttony. Maybe it's like me, overeating. Dawn says that I am terrible at portion control. I don't think so. I think whatever's there, I eat. So I don't understand it. But, or maybe for some of us, it's lust. Okay? It's expressed in porn and other ways. Websites are available. In our tech world, we have so much access. For some of you, it may be buying stuff. I mean, you can't wait till that flyer comes in the mail that you can scan down and see how much great deals you can buy, practically for nothing, but somehow it always costs something. Or maybe in this age of Netflix, that, you know, Netflix, it's kind of a bad thing because now instead of watching one show and then waiting next week to watch the second show and then the next week to watch the next one, no. No, they come out with this genius idea where you can watch a whole series in one sitting. Okay, you can what they call binge watching. Have you ever done that? Don't shake, don't raise your hand, please. But binge watching, where you just sit there for hours upon hours and just watch something. See, for you, maybe it's substance abuse. Oh, I know, no one else knows about it, but you know. Maybe it's flirtation. Oh, I know, you don't cross that line, but you're married. And that person at work, or that neighbor, or that flirtation that goes on. And you know it's dishonoring to God. And you vow you're never going to do it again. You're never going to cross that line, but you keep flirting. Maybe it's gambling. I mean, we just come off March Madness. Maybe it's gambling for you. Maybe You know, secretly you gamble and do things you shouldn't do. But maybe it's something that I haven't mentioned this morning. But I would like you to bring to mind this morning a temptation. Something that you battle with. And I think if we take it and make it more specific to us today, then this passage will be more helpful to us. Instead of just a general idea. You see, as I read this passage in James, these words about being dragged away, enticed, the image that comes to my mind at this time of the year is fishing. Now, I have to admit to you this morning, I have fished several times, quite a few times over my life, but I don't do it that much. But fishing comes to mind. We have the start of trout season, was just a couple weeks ago. But so this week, I went over to Bass Pro Shop. And I hung out there in the fishing area, and I talked to some guys and tried to get them to help me to understand a few things, and they did, that I could be more informed this morning. But I want you to take a look at a video this morning that helps us, maybe. Look at that. Look at that lure. Just kind of floating around. Oh, look at that fish. Eyeing it up. Well, kind of staying away from it, but, you know, eyeing it up a little bit, circling. Said, I don't know. Well, I can't quite get that. I don't know. Man, that thing just keeps coming around. That lure is just hanging around. Oh, it's just flirting with him. Oh, there we go. The bite replay. I love that, actually. The bite replay. So we have this idea of fishing. And so this morning I want to look at a couple phrases. And the first one I want to look at, besides tempted, is dragged away. This refers to temptation. It has this idea of physical movement. Now, as I walk by in the kitchen, and I walk by, and the sticky buns are over there, and I hear that voice saying, Lynn, come over here. I know that you want these sticky buns. This is the most important part right here. This physical movement is the most important part. Because as I take one step towards those sticky buns, I'm being dragged away from whatever is going on in my life. And I'm going over this. This physical movement is so important. You see, if we can stop that physical motion heading that way, that's the best place to stop with temptation, isn't it? When you hear the voice or something draws you, you don't have yourself getting distracted from what you're supposed to be doing and find yourself being dragged back to these wonderful sticky buns. I bought this at Bass Pro. No, I don't use these things, okay, but I found this at Bass Pro and was talking to one of the sales guys in there and was learning a little bit more about what a fish lure does. And I think this fish lure has some psychology behind it. Isn't that amazing? You see this thing right here? This thing here? It's called, I believe, a spinner, okay? Look at that thing. You see how it catches the light a little bit? You see, this spinner is really important because the spinner hits the light, and the light reflects off, and the fish sees that light. It doesn't know exactly what is going on, but it hits that light and it draws the fish to come near. Again, it's this spinner, it's this reflection, it's this thing that says, come and see. If we stop right here, it's our best chance to overcome temptation. We can win the battle right here. But see, it's not only this physical movement towards something, but it's also a mental movement. where we're drawn away. The mental focus, like on the internet. I mean, you're on the internet and you're going around and you're looking at different things, and all at once this ad pops up. Has an ad ever popped up on your screen? It's popped up on mine. And you're drawn to something. You're drawn away from what you were doing to what you are doing now. And you're mentally being lured away. And this happens to us. That physically, we have this movement, and mentally, we have this movement away, this being dragged away. And James, in this book, says to us that we are being dragged away is being caused by two things he mentions. And the first one he mentions, we are being drawn and dragged away by our own evil desires. This sin nature that we have, this flesh, this sarx in the Greek, we are broken. Something has gone bad in us. It's humanity. That we are drawn towards sin. Now you say, wait a minute, Lynn. Wait a minute. Hold on a minute. You don't understand. I think you missed something, part of the gospel. I am a new creation in Christ. Yes, you are a new creation in Christ. But, and once we were slaves to sin, but now we are new creation. And yes, back before we were new creations, sin dominated us, overwhelmed us. We were almost incapable of making good choices at times. But through our freedom in Christ, we were not slaves to sin. We can be victorious. And that's all true, and that's part of the good news of Jesus Christ. But this sin nature still is present. It still battles within us. Yes, we have the Spirit of the living God in us, the Holy Spirit in us. And it helps us to deny the flesh, to say no to that sin nature that keeps cropping up. And this is what I hope happens, is that the more that we have Christ living in us, the more the Holy Spirit works in us, the more that becomes in us, less that sin is present. So in other words, sin becomes less, and this new creation in us becomes bigger. This is called sanctification, to be sanctified, and to become more like Jesus. And so we have this opportunity that Christ's living in us to win, to be victorious over temptation, to know that the sin nature can shrink and what Christ living in us can increase. And so we take a look at this fish on the screen, and we say, fish, how stupid can you be? Did you see the hook? And I think sometimes the Lord says to us is, how can you do that? How can you be drawn into this temptation? So I think one of the ways that we're dragged away is through our own human desires. The second way that Scripture tells us is through this enticement. An enticement is this idea of seducing, this tricking, this deception, to see only the good but not the consequences. And to go back to this lure. And you take a look, and it has the spinner, and that reflects the light. But there's something else here that really works. When this is hooked up to a line, and it goes through, look what happens. See that? This is called a skirt. A skirt over the hook. And when the guy at Bass Pro called it a flirt skirt. That's not my words. That's what he said. It's a flirt skirt. And it makes sense, doesn't it? I mean, for this fish, as it's going along and it sees the light and it turns and heads towards this light, when it comes across, we're going around and we're pushing this the the pull up and down. And what's happening? Look what's happening. It's dancing all around. It's saying, come towards me, this flirt skirt. And it does. And the fish comes closer and closer. This thing wags its tail. And the fisherman does its dance. You see, that's what Satan does. Satan entices us. He seduces us. See, his greatest tool that he has in his toolbox is deception, tricks, and lies. You see, Satan would say to me, Lynn, these sticky buns are so good. Have one. Have two. Hey, why don't you have three or four or five? Why don't you eat the whole tray? You know what happens? I get a stomach ache afterwards. Many times, we don't understand the consequences. Many times, we flirt with so many things, and we go around, and we forget that buried in this flirt skirt, I can't even pull it back, is a hook. It hides the consequences. But we have this battle. We have this battle. We have the same battle that in some ways on Palm Sunday, this shouting of cheers and Jesus is king. And then this battle later on in the week where denouncing Jesus and crucify him. We have this battle between this sinful nature and this enticement, this luring away. Well, it goes on, another statement says, after desire has conceived, it gives birth. And the writer gives this image of a birthing of a baby or the conception and how the baby grows inside the womb. There's this natural growth of a child, isn't there? Desire starts so small, but it has this idea of growth. And this idea of a baby that comes out, then all at once it's an 8-pound baby. Desire grows. It says, come close. It says, smell. Oh, well, they do smell good. Smell. Smell the sticky rolls. The other thing I learned at Bass Pro Shop, by the way, I'm not promoting Bass Pro, but I learned a lot. The other guy said, you know, there's another thing you can do with this. You have all this stuff here, but he said, there's one other trick. I go, what's that? He says, you can get a fish attractor. You can spray something on the lure that the fish will smell. It's like perfume. It's like the extra thing that will just get them to come right in. And desire starts really small, doesn't it? I mean, small. Just, what's it hurt? And desire soon starts consuming us as we draw near. And then he goes on, he says, after desire has been conceived, it gives birth to sin. Now, when you do that, when desire has been conceived and it gives birth and it starts flourishing, it gives birth to something else. It gives birth to sin. It entices. The fish bites. The fish might nibble. And you say, well, if that's the case, then is that the end? And the answer is no, that's not the end. Because, see, sin gives birth, and what happens? There's growth, isn't there? Growth happens more and more, and sin becomes this, and then it becomes more. And we see it all the time, and we hear stories where people, how did they get from here to here? And I've heard stories, people tell me this, and they're like, I have no idea how I got this far in. And I think about pornography again, and the reason I mention it so much is because it's so pertinent to our times. You take that first look at pornographic stuff, and it's like, hey, no harm, no foul. And then you're not satisfied with that, so you want something a little more because that doesn't satisfy anymore. And you do something more, and you dig in deeper in pornography, and you get even more deeper and darker. And people who started with that, with just something so small, so innocent, they think, and they get over this deep, dark place. And see, at the end, they realize that this sin, as good as it may sound and seem, it never satisfies. It does not satisfy. And there's this deception. There's this lying. See, like the fish who took the bait. And you see what happens when the fish takes the bait? What happens? The fisherman feels that tug. And what does the fisherman do? He yanks back hard and sets the hook in. And it goes in deep. And then James says, what it does is it leads to death. He said, when sin is full grown, it gives birth to death. He said, no, Satan will be telling you that it will be great, but I'm telling you it will destroy you. Now see, I know that all of us have dealt with some temptation in our life. I've had plenty. You wouldn't even want to hear all of them in my own life. We give in to things and we say, how do we get from here to here? And I would say, one light reflection at a time, one flirt skirt at a time, one smell of perfume at a time that draws us in. And then some people say, well, Lynn, this is one of the most depressing sermons you have ever preached here at Slate Hill. And I think, well, you know, the reason I did this morning is because sometimes we go from Palm Sunday, there's this hallelujah, loud hosanna, and we go the whole way to Easter, where we shout, Jesus is risen. And sometimes we don't dip down in. We don't understand the depths of what Jesus has done for us. We kind of forget about the death and Jesus dying on the cross. We want to go from Palm Sunday to Easter and forgetting what's happening in the middle. And some of you will say, you know, Lynn, you're sounding just like all the other Christians that just, they think that the Christian life is just a killjoy. That all they want to do is limit our fun. But I want to tell you this morning that Jesus has no intention to ruin your fun. He just doesn't want to ruin your life. He wants to give you life eternal. And out of his love for us, he wants to pull us out. And so what does this path of victory look like in the midst of this? You see, every one of us has fallen. Every one of us has done something. And some of you say, well, Lynn, you don't understand how messed up I am in my life. You don't understand what I have done. You're right, maybe I don't. But God does. And God doesn't care how much you messed up. He says that there is a great victory available to everyone. That just forgiveness is available. That Jesus came and died on Good Friday to wash and cleanse our souls. For all of us who screwed up a little bit or too much. And so this week we celebrate the death and the resurrection of Christ. And some of us are sitting here thinking we've been a fool. We chomped down on the bait. And the hook was set in. And we feel like there's nothing we can do to get out of it. And then Jesus comes and says, I have something amazing. He says, I am going to take the hook. And I'm going to offer you a catch and release program for you. I'm going to take the hook out. And I'm going to allow you, as I look at you and say to you, you are my son or my daughter. And I'm going to take that like a fish and I'm going to take you down into the water. And I'm going to take you down there. I'm going to walk alongside of you. And I'm going to let you acclimate yourself to that water a little bit because it's disoriented. And I'm going to say, okay, here is the river of life. And I release, catch and release. And Jesus does this for us. And we go floating off. And we understand that Jesus offers us catch and release. He takes us off the hook. And when we do, he encourages us to live wisely. So today, on this Palm Sunday, Jesus offers us to release us, to take off the hook, and to live in victory. And this grace is extended to all of us, no matter what we have done. And that is the good news of Palm Sunday leading to Easter. Let us pray. Lord, we have thought about specifically our own temptations. Things that probably many of us don't know. Maybe our spouses, our family, and our friends. But you know. And I pray, Lord, as we know what those temptations are, I pray, Lord, that we would continue to understand the destruction. That we want to be more like you. We don't be sanctified. And so I pray, Lord, that you would help each one of us to live more and more like new creatures in Christ and less bound by the sin nature. Lord, I pray this week as we go through this week and we're mindful of our own temptations and we're mindful of what happens this week, that we would take time to understand what Jesus has done for us on the cross. The opportunities on a Good Friday service to understand the depths of the darkness. And that we can come on Easter Sunday for the sunrise. As the sun rises, we are victorious because you have also risen. And then come on Easter Sunday to celebrate what you have done. And I pray, Lord, that this week might be an embodiment of our own lives, to understand some of the deep, dark things in our own lives and to realize that you have offered us a catch and release, that your grace is sufficient for all. And that is good news. In Jesus' name, amen.